Growing up, I drank the Kool-Aid of my parents' and community's beliefs. I made that belief system more important than my own needs and happiness. Looking back, I can't fault anyone for that, not even quote-unquote God. I now have clarity in decisions and choices I make. I'm fully engaged in finding joy in my life, in my own way, without the influence and construct of others. This is an uplifting discussion from there to now. Hello, everyone. This is Heather Manji. I am here with my niece and her two friends, and you guys are all on the track team to Utah Tech University?
Yes.
And I had most of you over on Sunday, and I was talking about my Kool-Aid podcast, and I really felt like, and I'd already talked about this with some of my 40 and 50-year-old friends about mean girls, and there is this belief system that girls need to be mean to each other and competitive to each other. And then I was talking to you guys and I said, well, what if we got a 20-year-old perspective too? And so you are on part one with me today, and you're also brave to be on this and be video recorded at the same time. Thank you. I know it could be slightly nerve-wracking. So I just wanted to introduce Sadie, Camilla, and Ashlyn, who I was calling Zaylin on accident on Sunday.
Zaylin, Ashlyn. It's okay.
So if I start saying that, someone please give me a cue. I picked up this really bad habit from my dad where you purposely alter someone's name and then you can't really ever remember their original name. So anyhow, guys, thank you for coming and joining me. I was reflecting on my mean girl experience and when it first happened to me and how stunned and really baffled and curious I was by this whole experience. And I was in high school and it was me and a girl that I considered a really good friend. I would actually probably call her a best friend because we spent a significant amount of time together. And we went to breakfast with this guy who she perceived as really attractive and hot. I didn't even think of him in that way. And we're in a conversation having a really fun time. And then she said something extremely disparaging and rude and put me down in front of him to make herself look better. And then I thought, I was like, what the crap just happened? I was so stunned. And I got home and thought about it. And I'm like, oh, she's trying to make me look bad so she looks better to this dude because she wants him. And then that's just when it started to bring it to my awareness. And even now in my mid-40s, I see it and I experience it and I catch it and I try to reverse it in respects to how I respond or behave back to someone like that or how to literally negate it in my reality. So let's start with Sadie. What was your first experience?
Okay, my first experience as a mean girl where I felt like I was the mean girl was with my little sister. We got in this like big fight and it was over literally nothing. I think it was over cleaning our room, something stupid like that. But I got really mad at her and I told her, I was like, Jessica, that's her name. I was like, Jessica, you're never going to get a boyfriend. That's so mean. And I think we were like 8 years old. So I don't know why I was thinking about that already. But my mom pulled me aside and she was like, Sadie, that is a really, really mean thing to say to your sister. And I remember it like hurt me in my soul. It didn't really change me for a while. I was still really mean to my sister for a long time. But
where do you think that came from?
Honestly, the room wasn't clean, so I was mad. But I know, like, me and my sister were really close in age. We were always put together, like,
competitive.
Yeah, we were always put in the same situations. We were always doing the same things.
Like your parents comparing you?
Yeah, and it was like, I mean, we were both super different. We were both really good at different things, but we somehow always ended up competing with each other, and it always made our fights so much worse when they like never really had to be at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember feeling really, really bad about being so mean to like someone I'm supposed to be really nice to.
Right. I think that's kind of common for siblings though.
Oh yeah.
But did you find yourself doing that to other girls, other females?
I think outside of my family, I would find it more from other people coming towards me just in sports, because I think that's like such a common thing for everybody to be in the same situation, be playing the same positions or running the same race or, you know, doing things in athletics where you're constantly put against each other. One of my teammates, when we were running for captain, that's not a thing. You should never be running for captain if you're trying to be a captain.
What does that mean?
Basically, I feel like...
See, you can tell I don't do competitive sports.
No, it's okay. That probably needs explanation. I feel like
competing to be the leader.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Oh, I thought it was running because you're on the track team.
No. Oh. No, 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 no.
Thank you, Sean.
No, no, no. Yeah, no, we were never running on purpose. But I feel like, I mean, leaders are never supposed to be, you know, competing. They're just chosen because they're leaders. But I remember, like, we were fighting each other for this captain spot. And so anything that I did wrong, she would, like, yell out loud, like, oh, that's a really interesting choice, Sadie. Like, that didn't work last time. So,
bitch.
Like, yeah. So it was always
you're
like,
done. And it was what just, did you do? Did you smile and wave or did you curse at her?
I got voted captain.
Yeah.
I don't participate in that.
But, get it.
I don't know. It's so common in sports or anything where you're put in the same situation. Like, mm-hmm.
Just like
just
women
competing
against each other.
Yeah.
Always.
Yes.
But
always.
I feel like we're naturally put in situations where women are competing against each other.
But how?
I feel like you see it in everything.
Like what? Zaylin, lean closer to your microphone. Just kidding. I mean, Ashlyn, get closer to it.
I think a really big spot that I see that is that type of comparison between women is with guys. Like, just like how you said your friend in high school and stuff. That's what I see a lot of the times. And then, of course, with us being on the track, mm-hmm. we're always competing for spots at meets. We're always competing for who's going to be like the top in our event. Even with our coach, I just think it's a lot.
I also think I've seen it in, like, school and being some, like, I'm someone that just doesn't really care to, like, study a ton. Like, if I get an A, cool. If I get a B, I'm happy. I don't really care. But mm-hmm. I do remember in high school, there was this one girl where, like, all of her confidence came from schoolwork. And it really, like, bothered her that I didn't study and would get the same grades as her. And so after every test, like, Camilla, what did you get on the test? I'm like... higher than you. But it is weird because it's like, why are we competing about something where we're both just trying to be good at? Like, it's not something that has to be like pitting each other against.
Okay, do you find guys are doing that? Or do you see this primarily mostly with girls?
Honestly,
I think it's girls.
It's girls.
Girl. I think a lot of the times they try to say, or it could be pointed towards like, oh, it's his fault because like we're going for the same guy, or it's his fault. But I think it's girls just kind of just going against girls.
Like if you see a situation where the guy cheats on a girlfriend with another girl, the girl gets mad at
the girl and not the guy.
Like, yes, the girl, if she actively knew you had a boyfriend, she actively was pursuing him, whatever. But why are you not mad at your boyfriend?
Yes, it
and
makes
forgiving
zero
him immediately?
Sense.
It's so weird.
Yes, why are we getting pissed off with each other when it's the dude that's the fuck up
mm-hmm.
and the jerk?
For real.
And the all of the other explicatives I want to say.
How many more words can we come up with?
Douchebag.
Good, I like
oh, I
that
like
one.
That one a lot. Okay, Camilla, would you please share your experience, your very first experience, and what kind of awareness did that bring you?
Yes.
Or when did you come to an awareness about it?
Okay. So I was the mean girl in third grade, and I got switched. My parents transferred us to a different school just for, like, better reading and writing. And I was so – I felt so misunderstood because it was, like, I was put in this random school. All my other friends I was still trying to be friends with from my old school, but they thought it was weird that my parents put me in this, like, private school. And it caused of like, oh, you think you're better than us? And I was like, no, I don't think I'm better than you. My parents forced me. So it was like initial anger, I think, just being put into a place of having to make new friends. And the easiest people to make friends with, like misery wants company. So Mean Girls, I found myself drawn to this like group of three girls who were obsessed with the Mean Girls movie.
I mean, it's a good movie.
It's
I've watched
great,
it several times.
Like, it's so good and it's so iconic, but it's a movie for a reason because, like, that
do you think
not...
it was to program us to be mean to each other or to bring it to our awareness?
I think the initial, like, thought of it was to bring it to our awareness. But, like, the girls I became friends with was like, we are the mean girls and, like, let's be the mean girls. And so.
Did they have a book?
Luckily, no book. Luckily, no book. But I remember from like third grade till eighth grade for sure, I was like definitely a mean girl, I guess you could be compared to. Like my friends I was so nice to, and I'm like a deeply empathetic person. So like the people I considered friends, I was never mean to them. But anyone that like hurt one of my friends, like we were so mean to. And so it actually like I didn't gain total awareness of that until like my junior year of high school. And I had this one friend, like bless her heart, she's the sweetest girl ever. And she's so nice. And I was like, why are you so nice? Like, no one's, you're dumb. Like, my initial reaction was like, why are you? She actually taught me a lot about forgiveness because she always forgave people because she was always so kind. And like from being friends with her from like my junior and senior year, she taught me so much about like just compassion, like empathy to people, and realizing that like the way you treat others is a direct reflection of how you think about yourself.
I absolutely agree.
Loved herself, and I like wanted to become better. And so I feel like, I mean, I'm still working on it, obviously, like everyone's working on themselves, but I would definitely say like my initial awareness was gained in my junior year of high school. Mm-hmm. But that was from like, it started in third grade that I was like the mean girl.
Mm, that was really great insight. Thank you for sharing that. What about you, Zaylin? I mean, kidding. Ashlyn.
My first experience, I guess, with Mean Girls, it was in middle school. I was friends with this group of girls. There's four of us total. And there's one girl who we just kind of stopped being friends. We kind of just fell off. We all lived in the same neighborhood, so we hung out all the time. Mm-hmm. I think it was more of a jealousy thing between like our families. Like our families didn't get along the best. It was like a whole thing. And my other two friends kind of like latched on to her, and she would make things up about me. And she ended up trying to get me in a lot of trouble. And I almost got expelled from school because they made up all these lies and like backed each other up. Mm-hmm. And I got in all this trouble. And I just remember being like, no one believes me. Like these girls are being so mean, and I don't know how to make it seem like they tried to portray me as the mean girl. And I was like, I don't know how to get away from that, because they used to be my friends. Like, these were my only friends I had. And a couple years later, when she had moved schools and everything, the other two girls came back to me and wrote a letter, and one came to me and was like, I'm so sorry for what I did. We were so mean. Like, we lied to, like, the principals. We lied to everyone. And we were so sorry for that. Like, we don't understand why we followed her. But it really just showed me that, I don't know, I just learned that people will always try to bring you down, no matter where, no matter for what reason. It makes themselves feel better by bringing other people around them down. So
it's kind of like crabs in a bucket. You put a bunch of crabs. Yes. Okay, you put one crab in a bucket, they can crawl out. But you put mm-hmm. a bunch of crabs in the bucket, and when one crawls out, they pull them back in.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's so true.
So what are you guys doing to counteract this? How are you changing the universe and the world?
Well, I think like me and Ashlyn, we actually have like some really nasty roommates right now that we're living with. Mm-hmm. But dealing with them being like active mean girls, I think for me personally, I struggle a lot with like forgiving but not forgetting. Like, it's hard to do that. But I think to have like boundaries with friendships and boundaries with people is actually really important, because that's not you being mean. And I've learned this actually a lot from Ashlyn, mm-hmm. that like not letting someone have the opportunity to hurt you again doesn't mean that you're being mean. That just means that you're setting a boundary. That doesn't mean you have to go out of your way to be mean to them, or out of your way to show them something or like prove a point to them. But I think like forgiving, but like remembering like, mm-hmm. okay, no, I need to set a boundary mm-hmm. with these people once they do something like that that's mean or like disrespectful to you.
Yeah, I say those girls I actually was talking about earlier, we did kind of go back and forth for a little bit on her trying to be friends again and then get a little closer, and then she would do something worse. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of built. And so that is when I learned, like, okay, it's okay to forgive someone, but I always will hold them at an arm's length away or a little farther each time so they can't hurt you as bad. And so I have tried to show Camilla that as much, because when I first met her, she was just so forgiving. And there are some things I was like, I don't think I could ever forgive someone all the way. But Camilla's also helped me with that. Like, it's okay to forgive people a little bit more. And so I feel like that's been a good thing.
Why do you think it's important to forgive?
Oh my gosh, it weighs you down. Because then every time you see them, you're like, oh my gosh. Well, at least for me, I'm like, I have to remember I'm mad at them.
Well, you kind of hang on to their energy.
Totally.
If you don't forgive them, you become that, and you hang on to that energy. You think about it. You're brewing about it. It's there present.
So true.
And yeah, forgiveness helps you to move forward and let them be where they're at, but you can shift to a different level or awareness, behavior. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think along with that, like, the idea of like protecting your energy and like being selective of who you give your energy to, forgiveness actually allows you to protect your energy, because you're giving your energy to that situation like every single day. Like, I had this one girl who was actually a roommate last year, and she did some like horrible things to me, put me in a really, really sticky situation at like the end of my school year. And it was so much easier for me to just like forgive her. That doesn't mean I like love her, want to be like her best friend, but like forgiving her and moving on was so much more freeing than if I would have been like, no, I'm holding a grudge. Like, I'm never going to forgive you. You will like feel the pain that I had to feel. Like, it's just so much more freeing to like protect. Also, you're protecting yourself from them because you're not letting that like still affect you like day to day.
I also think like it showed her and it showed you, like it put you on a different plane of like, you cannot touch me, like you cannot hurt me in any way. Like, she did some pretty terrible things and we're not gonna get into it, but like it was bad.
No, it was really, really, really bad.
But like, it put you on a different, like, she couldn't touch you after that. She couldn't get anywhere near you. And neither could any of the people that had the same actions
and
as her.
And that's what gives you the power. That gives you power over any situation in that respect.
It's
when you don't reciprocate and react, right? Especially in the way that they want you to, because then they win.
Yes. And I think actually as girls, like, subconsciously, girls don't even know that they're looking for a reaction. Okay, I could say this. For girls that are really loud and, like, honestly, all of us, we all have pretty loud personalities in this room right now. Like,
not me.
Expression. Oh, no. The shyest.
The quiet.
The shyest. So shy.
But, like, if you're loud and you're really outgoing and you're really comfortable with yourself, the first thing that a insecure or just threatened girl, or if they're hurt, hurt people, hurt people.
Amen.
And if they're hurt, they will latch onto the fact that you're so comfortable with yourselves, and their first reaction is to want to just, like, let me put you in a box. Like, how can I make you
uncomfortable
shut
with yourself?
Yes, like, they make you, they want you to feel uncomfortable because they feel uncomfortable with how comfortable, how many more times can I say comfortable, with yourself?
Let's ask Sean, can he spell it?
How do you spell comfortable, Sean? Help us.
Q.
Oh, my God. Okay, you're done, you're done.
The end.
I think, like, girls want to put you in a box, and the reaction that they're looking for, it's not, they're not like, oh, I'm gonna make her shut down, oh, I'm gonna make her more quiet. But no, your presence needs to be heard.
Yeah,
especially as like a loud girl. And the mean girls that are out there, and I bet it's the same for the older, like older age group as well, is like, they don't want you to be so loud and boisterous and so like
out there, putting yourself out there. Yeah,
it really, like, it just, I think it really just hurts them to be able to see you being so comfortable with yourself, because they don't feel that comfortable with themselves.
They don't understand it probably. And
very true.
Why would they feel really good when someone else is feeling way better than them?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, going back to what we were talking about changing the universe.
Yeah.
Is like,
change that program.
Well, they want to bring you like down to our level or their level. And I feel like the thing that we do, maybe tell me if I'm wrong, but we have like a really close-knit friendship. We're all very different. We are all very confident in different ways. But people want to bring you down. When we're with people, we bring it out of them. Like, if we find
true.
The right people, you can, you know, you can bring them up, and then we're all having a good time. We're all on this like way higher level of being way more comfortable with ourselves. But I think like the mean girl presence is going to bring you down to like this weird lower
state. In like your
state
little shell of
being
like
uncomfortable.
A low vibration.
Low vibration.
Super and a gross dope. One.
Are we talking about vibrators?
You said it. I did it. Oh, are we going to whisper now? Because we started this podcast with whispering.
Okay. Sean's like humming. What's going on? What's going on?
There's a male voice. That means there's a male presence.
No, it's some my wife's vibrator.
Oh.
No way.
And you hit the switch, it goes.
Oh, I thought we were going to go on the third switch.
SOS.
I had to get 220 put into the house to.
Okay, Sean. It's enough.
Thank you, Sean.
Thanks for your input. Anyways, we're going to go back to Mean Girls
your
and
wife's
vibrators.
Kick your ass. Okay.
I guess I would think that Sean doesn't know what a vibrator feels like on a particular part of his body, but we'll talk about that later.
Next podcast.
Next episode.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned, but back to Mean Girls.
Yes.
How do we change this program? I'll tell you one thing that I do.
Let's hear it.
Sometimes when I see a girl side-eye me or look me up and down, I hate that.
Do you remember this? At George's?
Oh my gosh, that's right. We were at George's and Camilla shows up in this amazing top that shows the perfect side boobs.
I won't lie,
great side boob action.
It was violently showy, but like
slightly violent.
It was violent. Like everything was in your face, but guess what?
It looks really good.
Why not? I didn't see her nipples.
You didn't see the nipples. You didn't see.
I just saw a side boob.
Yeah, like it was great.
Who doesn't love side boob?
The waiter loved it. Love
boob. I think I honestly can't see my side boob, but I think it looks great. I'm sure it looks
exactly.
fabulous.
Exactly.
Side where were we going life. With this?
Okay, well, anyways.
Back on track.
So anyways, there was a table of four ladies literally across the aisle from us, and I was acutely aware of them whispering and looking over at our table.
Pointing.
And yes, pointing.
Pointing. Why are you pointing at us?
And I was like, why must we be here and be subjected to judgment when we're just really trying to enjoy our dinner and evening
and
catch up because we haven't seen each other?
Each of them was like, they all were older. Like, they had
to
be my mom's.
40s to 60s.
Yeah, like, near my mom's age. Why? And they were just so keen on me and Heather
having
a good time.
What did I say to them? I said something to them. I turned around.
Excuse me, are you looking at her?
Yeah, I think I did do that. I'm like, are you looking at my niece? Are you seeing her looking at her side boob? I literally said that.
Oh, yeah. You're like, don't you love her side boob? And they immediately were like,
yeah, your nails are so cute. Oh, your nails. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
They're commenting on my nails
what
from like 5 feet away.
You're like, what's the nails?
You don't even know
I'm
what
like,
color my nails
I'm
color
not
color
even paying attention to anyone to see their nails. Seriously? Like,
it
you guys have
bizarre.
Nothing else interesting to talk about than to look at our table?
Yes. And then they continued to try to follow. It was funny because then they immediately gave away what they like. They're, well, your skin is so like shimmery and tan. And I was like, so if you're looking at us, all you could have said was, we like your nails and your skin looks shimmery. But instead they were pointing and whispering and probably saying I was like.
Well, they continued to do so afterwards, but yeah. Whatever. You can't really do anything about it. And to be honest with you, being mean back to them doesn't make a difference.
No.
It does not help the situation.
At all.
Yeah, so when I get like side eyes and all that stuff, I just smile and wave.
I think that's smart.
Do you like the view? It shocks them more.
Yeah. Oh, hey, do you want me to turn around? Because I like this side better.
Pull out your camera. It'll last
you're like,
longer.
How about this?
Take a picture.
But I think confronting it is actually good. It can be good.
Bringing it to their awareness that we are like, fully aware of you talking about us and looking at us and judging us.
Pointing.
Yeah, and what's that about? Okay, well, carry on. Bye. You know?
Right.
But being nice and helping each other. Because I'm in a competitive industry, and women are mean-spirited and competitive with each other. And I remove that competition. I literally am not part of it. When someone, even when it comes to guys, when I'm dating and girls want to compete for a guy, I'm like, have them all to yourself. Bye. I won't even play that game. It's not even worth it to me.
Well, especially because it's competing for, like, the guy wouldn't let there be a competition if it was. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, the right guys, you're not going to have to really compete for. And so if he's entertaining, like, in a way, sometimes guys can entertain the competition between girls.
Absolutely.
And they play it up. They love
it. They find it.
Yes, because, I mean, they're getting the attention.
And then the girls are hating
each other and wanting to, like, tear each other apart.
Yeah, it just, they feel it more. So
whereas we need to band together.
Women need to band together and support and uplift each other, because it's hard enough to be a female in this male dominant world. And it's changing, though. It is shifting. And with that shift, it needs to come with love and kindness to one another and support. And even if they're mean to you, be nice.
That's why I really liked what Sadie said about what we try to do by bringing other people up. I saw a quote the other day, and it was saying that people that are trying to bring you down are already below you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the only way to bring them up is literally to help them with that helping hand and to bring them up with you. Because once you're at that level, it's hard to sink back down. And so I feel like that's what we try to do a really good job of, even with like each other, just
being uplifting
of everyone we meet.
Yeah. And then you have allies, you have resources, people that can help
a
you in the world
team.
That like you.
Yes.
It will be much easier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Friends of all ages. My favorite friends are 20 years older than me.
I love that.
But I think different people provide different insight. And so I think another thing too to notice with like girls is like you don't have to have friends that are the exact same as you. Like it helps to have different input and different insight on life, and like it helps you grow closer to people. And I think that helps like get away from like the cliquey behavior also of girls that is like innately in us, we're drawn to have.
Bring it awareness, change it, rewire it.
Yes.
Palo Santo it. Put crystals on yourself.
Vibrate it.
Waiting, Sean.
Burn the bras.
For the sound effect.
There it is.
Oh, yep. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
I thought it was someone farting when he first did it.
He's like,
for a really long time.
It would have been Saylin.
I was actually in Saylin. I really love your Chinese name, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Saylin.
Anyways, guys, this has been extremely enlightening and wonderful.
So fun.
And to be honest with you, you love hanging out with 20 people who are 20 years older than you. I love hanging out with people 20 years younger than me. I was surrounded by a bunch of 20-year-olds on Sunday. Beautiful. And my daughter, and it was so much fun. And I think particularly that you guys can be a lot more real and authentic and what's the other word? Comfortable with yourselves. And it's just really refreshing to see that, because I feel like my generation wasn't like that. So thank you for bringing hope to womanhood.
Yes, woman.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us, Heather.
You're welcome.
I love you, Heather.
I love you, too. Stay tuned for our part two with our 40 and 50-year-old panels, which will be in a couple of weeks.
Yes. Thank you for listening to the I Drink the Kool-Aid podcast. Join us next time. If you'd like to participate in this discussion, get a hold of us at idrinkthekooladpodcast@gmail.com. Now let me ask you, what flavor of Kool-Aid are you drinking?
This has been a production from a podcast studio.